couple of days ago in Tennessee, the governor allowed a new bill to become law that is making that state once again remind everybody that it was the state of the Scopes monkey trial back in the 1920s. This is a bill that is very much like that because it has to do with the teaching of evolution in the public schools there. Governor Bill Haslam didn't sign House Bill 368, but he also didn't veto it. And by not doing either, in Tennessee, the bill becomes law. It is a bill that will essentially allow teachers and encourage teachers to present the scientific strengths and scientific weaknesses of topics that arouse debate and disputation, such as biological evolution, the chemical origins of life, global warming, and human cloning. It's not limited to those, but those are the specific examples that are included in the bill. I think that the governor there didn't sign or veto it for obvious political reasons. He doesn't want to have his name attached to it one way or the other, but by not acting, it's the same thing. And so there's kind of an uproar in Tennessee over this, and in fact, throughout schools in every state of the United States, particularly in science classrooms, which is why I've asked Josh Rosenau to join me from the National Center for Science Education, where he is the Programs and Policy Director and also, by trade, an evolutionary biologist. Hi, Josh. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Tell me what impact this will have on science classrooms in Tennessee.
By singling out science classes and by singling out a couple of well-accepted scientific ideas as if they were controversial, I think it's going to undercut science education in Tennessee. You know, there's no scientific reason that they ought to be singling out evolution and claiming that it causes debate and disputation. There's no reason to be saying that about climate change in a science classroom, in a political science class or a social studies class or something like that. You might be able to make a case, but as science, it's just wrong, and I think it's going to mislead students.
And this law does not say which classrooms these things can be discussed in. It is not specifically about science classrooms or social studies classrooms or debate club after school, right?
Well, it's focused on the science curriculum.
Oh, it is.
So if a teacher in another class decided that, sometimes teachers do things that are interdisciplinary and work together to cover a given topic across classrooms. So it could reach beyond science classrooms, but the focus is really just on science education, which is, if you take the bill at face value, it's sort of strange, because the bill just says, oh, this is about promoting critical thinking and encouraging teachers to help students understand and analyze ideas, which they should be doing in English classes and social studies classes too. So I don't know why it should single out just science class.
This notion of alternative theories being taught alongside scientific theories could lead to, oh, I don't know, we're going to teach kids that the Earth is flat. After all, there is a theory that the Earth is flat and not a sphere. We could also teach kids the alternate theory of the stork bringing babies instead of actual human reproduction. How far can they go with this?
It's not clear. And that's one of the concerns that a lot of people raised with it to the governor and to the legislature. And, you know, the governor himself, in his statement on not signing the bill, said that his concern was that it brought more confusion than clarity. And it's unfortunate that he allowed it to become law in light of that, because now it's just passing the buck on ultimately to courts, but along the way to school districts. We're going to have to figure out, how do we run our classrooms in light of this? How do we decide? Can we really set curriculum anymore, or is every teacher an island unto him or herself?
What will this mean for the teachers in the science classrooms in Tennessee now? What will they have to do, and what will they be allowed to do? They already have been teaching evolution as fact there for all these years, and things about the chemical origins of life and global warming, etc. What will they have to do? What are they allowed to do under this new law?
Well, I would certainly hope that they were already teaching evolution, but there's no guarantee. A survey that was done by a couple of researchers at Penn State University. They did a survey of high school biology teachers nationwide and found that about a quarter of them teach evolution the way that groups like the National Academy of Sciences and the National Science Teachers Association would recommend. That is, taking this as what scientists regard it as, the foundation of modern biology, something without which nothing in biology makes sense. About a quarter teach it that way. About a quarter, or somewhere around an eighth to a sixth of the teachers were taught creationism in their classrooms, advocated for creationism in their classrooms, in public schools, which is unconstitutional, and people have known that for over a generation, but even so, it happens fairly commonly. And then there's a 60% of teachers in the middle who just aren't comfortable with it, and they might skip the topic entirely, or they de-emphasize it in various ways and try to look for ways to avoid the social controversy that can attach to it. And I think those are the teachers that this bill is going to affect the most. The teachers who are confident about teaching evolution can still teach evolution exactly the way they did. The teachers who are teaching creationism will probably have a little bit more protective cover thanks to this bill than they had before. It'll be a little bit harder to make sure that accurate science is taught in science classes. But those teachers who are in the middle and who aren't really sure how to cover these issues are going to look at this bill and they're going to see that evolution is singled out, climate change is singled out, a handful of other topics, and they're going to say, well, maybe those are sketchy, maybe I should be careful in how I teach those, maybe I should spend a little bit less time on them, maybe I should try to find alternatives, even if they're not really scientific alternatives, and use those to try to provide some balance in the classroom, just to avoid getting in trouble.
Yeah,
that's the real concern.
And what goes with that is, you know, when you talk about getting in trouble, sometimes getting in trouble could be a student's parent complains to the principal, my daughter was taught about evolution and I don't want her to be taught about evolution and that sort of thing. And that has already forced some of those teachers, and I think some of those in that 50%, to say, you know what, I don't need to have to go to meetings about this every semester because we have one or two parents out of the 25 or 30 of the kids in my classroom who objects to this and doesn't want me to teach it. I'm just tired of it, and so I'm going to teach less of it or maybe teach none of it, although it boggles the mind how you can teach high school biology without teaching evolution.
Yeah, it just becomes, a bunch of facts that you memorize and forget about as soon as you graduate. It doesn't have any of the explanatory power if you don't include evolution in the classroom. And for me, I worry about it that in 10 years, we're going to be at a point where having each of us our own personal genome fully sequenced is going to be part of our medical record. And we're going to be looking at that and trying to understand what does this mean that we have all of this information about our personal genomics. What medicines are best for us? What diseases are we at risk for? What are the risks that I personally have to worry about when I go to the doctor? And to understand that, to put that into a context, the way that researchers who work on genomes do that is they compare between different species and they look at the evolutionary history and they see how those genes evolved and where did this mutation occur. It used to be that we would tell people, well, you know, to be a doctor in the 21st century, you really need to understand evolution. At this point, I'm telling people to be a patient in the 21st century, you need to have an understanding of evolution. And that, you know, bills like this are undercutting that. They're undercutting the next generation of researchers and technical innovators, people who are going to figure out how do you use these genetic discoveries, and how do we develop drugs, and how do we locate new drugs in the world? That's what this is really holding back.
This is the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris talking with Josh Rosenau, evolutionary biologist and programs and policy director for the National Center for Science Education, which advocates for teaching science correctly in our schools. What impact will this have on students who then want to go on to college and perhaps do that outside of the state of Tennessee, where this new bill went into effect a couple of days ago? What happens when they leave high school in a place where they've been taught that there is a controversy over evolution, even though there actually isn't in the world of science, and the same for global warming and the rest, if they go on to any science curriculum in college, what's ahead for them?
Well, when they go to college, they're certainly going to be taught evolution. And the biology classes that they take, they'll be taught evolution, and it'll be treated as something that is not controversial. They're not going to, the teachers are not there are not going to take it easy on them because their state had this law. They're going to be expected to follow along with the rest of the students. And if they want to be go into pre-med programs or bioengineering or biotechnology programs, they're going to be expected to get up to speed pretty quick. And they're going to be coming in at a disadvantage relative to other students.
And what about what's happening in other states? Tennessee is kind of the standard bearer for this and has been ever since the Scopes trial some 90-plus years ago. What's happening in other states in this regard?
There's a law like this that passed in 2008 in Louisiana. The precise details are a little bit different, but the basic gist of it is the same. A lot of the language is copied directly between the two. And similar bills have been introduced in a total of, I think, 13 states. About 40 separate bills have been filed. These are the only two that have become law so far. The tricky thing about this is that the way that the law is phrased, it doesn't require anyone to do anything. It doesn't require them to bring in alternatives to evolution, but it opens that door. And so knowing what's happening in an individual classroom can be really hard. If there's nobody there who objects to having creationism taught, then, you know, a teacher can largely do whatever he or she likes.
Yeah, the thing I read about this in a Reuters story about this, it said the law does not allow teachers to present the alternative theories on their own, but they must discuss them if mentioned. Now, discuss, does that allow a teacher to say, you know, all those alternative theories have never been proven. We treat evolution as a fact. We treat climate change as a fact in this classroom. All those alternative theories are wrong. Or do they then have to go into what's behind the alternative theories and explain them, and then, and this is the most ridiculous thing I can think of in a science classroom, allow the students to make up their own mind? I'm pretty sure that in science and math, you're not allowed to make up your own mind. There's either fact or fiction, but
yeah, you're not allowed to decide that 2 + 2 is actually 5, and to just go ahead and answer all the questions on the test with that answer.
Yeah, you can't pretend. You can't pretend there's no such thing as inertia. You can't pretend that NaCl isn't table salt. You can't have alternative theories about scientific fact, and yet here they would have to discuss alternative quote theories that aren't really scientific theories, and theory means something different in a scientific realm, and yet here these alternative, quote, theories would have to be discussed by the teacher and explained. Or could they just say, that's nonsense, we're going back to the real world?
The law is really vague on this point. The bill's supporters said, oh, no, this still requires everyone to teach the same curriculum that their district approved. But there's nothing, when you actually read the bill, there's nothing really that says that. So I think Reuters there is sort of picking up on what the bill's advocates were claiming that it said, not necessarily what the actual text of the bill says.
Mm-hmm.
And the vagueness of this bill really makes it a lawyer's dream. It's just going to have to be sorted out in the courts ultimately. And what's going to have to happen is that there will be some teacher. The history of this is there's a long history of creationist lawsuits where a creationist teacher will stand up in class and say, well, here's what I think the evidence against evolution is, and will recite hackneyed old creationist arguments that have been long ago rejected as flawed or invalid or meaningless by the scientific community. The teacher will recite those same old things. And a parent will complain, or an administrator will step in and say, you know, that's not okay, that's not what the curriculum says. And in the past, the teachers basically had to go along with that. One of them in Minnesota sued in the early 2000s and said, well, you can't move me to a different class after I've refused to teach the curriculum the way you want. And the courts ultimately said, no, you know, when you became a teacher, you signed a contract and said that you would teach the curriculum the way that your district said you should.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just go off on your own and decide that you want to teach it this way instead.
Just like a social study teacher teaching the Civil War couldn't take the attitude that slavery is good.
Or couldn't just declare that the South won.
Right. Right.
You know, and an English teacher can't go in there and say, well, instead we're going to read Macbeth, but we're going to actually talk about how Shakespeare wasn't Shakespeare, he was the Earl of Oxford. And you can't just sort of go off on your own.
Right.
And that's what the courts have always held. But what this law is meant to do is to undercut those sorts of legal decisions and say, well, teachers have this protection that if they decide to just go off on their own on an issue, that they're protected, that the district is prohibited from interfering.
Mm.
And it's not clear what those limits are. What exactly are the districts actually prohibited from doing? Are they allowed to say, you know, yes, you have to help students think critically, but you have to do it this way rather than that way? That lesson plan you had that was bringing in creationism isn't appropriate, but you can achieve that same totally appropriate goal. I mean, yes, science classes should teach critical thinking, and they do. And they can do that without bringing in creationism, which the bill, the law now, seems to assume almost that you the only way to teach critical thinking is by attacking these well-understood and well-studied scientific theory.
If I were a teacher there, I would immediately rent a copy of the movie Inherit the Wind, edit everything else down, and just show them the courtroom scenes and say, okay, now can we get back to teaching real science? Josh, I appreciate your time today. Thanks so much.
Great talking to you.
Josh Rosenau is an evolutionary biologist and the Programs and Policy Director for the National Center for Science Education. They've got a lot more about this on their website, ncse.com. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.